What we thought we'd do just as an intro is to spend a few minutes looking at this passage that's been shaping our Bible readings over the last few weeks, our teaching on Sunday and our word on Wednesday, that teaching from Matthew 16, where Jesus asks his disciples, "And what about you? Who do you say I am?" So just let me get my notes up. So let's pray together. And then we'll look at this passage together. If you want to grab your Bibles, you can. Matthew 16 is where we're going to be looking. So, Father, we pray, come by the power of your Holy Spirit and reveal to us what you want to say today. Let it not be about my words, but let it be about your word. We thank you for this amazing book that you've given us, your word, the Bible. And we thank you that it's living and it's active and it changes us and transforms us and shapes us and challenges us. And we just invite you, Holy Spirit, to come today and do all of those things as we open your word together. Come, Holy Spirit. We don't want to do this without you. We could, but it would be dry. We just fill our head with stuff. We want your Holy Spirit to be just breathing on this word so that we would hear your word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Matthew 16, and just start reading. I'll read the passage that we're looking at. So Matthew 16, starting in verse 13, it says there, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do the people say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' Simon Peter answered, but what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.'" And we started looking at that last week. John talked about where Peter said, you know, you are the Messiah. Actually, we've jigged it around this week. We were going to look at where they say, you know, you're the Son of the living God. Going to do that next week. But we've jigged it around this week. And it's really interesting in that jigging it around. It's just, we just feel like God is really underlining this. Because, well, I'll come on to that in a moment. Anyway, let me carry on with the reading. So this is what he says then. "Jesus replied, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.' This, then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah." Now, it's interesting, isn't it? We weren't planning on speaking about this today. I think we decided when? Well, Tuesday, that we were going to look at this today. What we didn't then do is look at the reading that we had for today from Matthew 18. Because in Matthew 18, and I hadn't twigged that Jesus says this, what we're looking at today from verse 19. He says it in Matthew 16, and he says it in Matthew 18. And I think when these things happen, I think it's the Holy Spirit saying, actually, I'm underlining this for you. I want your ears to prick up a little bit. I want you to hear what I'm going to say to you today. So I think God is putting this front and center for us today. It's an everyday passage we've got to grasp. But I think for us as a church, he's saying today, I want you to really think about this passage, particularly verse 19. Because it's come up twice. He said, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." I'm gonna include the footnote in my Bible. And if you look in your Bibles here, when it says it in both Matthew 16 and 18, there's a little footnote. And actually, when you include the footnote, it makes more sense, and it's an easier passage to understand. So this is what it says with the footnote. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be that which is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be that which is loosed in heaven." See what I mean? Let me read it again. "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be that which is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be that which is loosed in heaven." And I think Jesus is saying here, what you bind, what you restrict on earth is that which is bound in heaven. And what you loose, what you release on earth is that which is released in heaven. We're going to pray together today. We're going to pray here in the room. We're going to pray online. We're going to use the live feed. And we're going to pray using those four kind of areas that Linda's just mentioned. And I want us to think about this, what it means to bind and to loose, to release before we pray. Because I think this is really, really important. Now, Jesus is saying this to his disciples, and where he is saying it is important. They're in the shadow of the temple in Jerusalem. The reality is, in that part of the world, you know, when you start talking about God, you're always in the shadow of the temple and of the city. Such was its place in the heart of the Jewish nation. The Jewish believer of that day believed that Jerusalem and the temple was absolutely front and center. It was the centerpiece of their faith. Interestingly, I haven't looked into this at all, but also, and it fits in with what Jesus says here, but he says that it was also the place, you know, it was the place where heaven and earth met, but it was also the place where they believed as an also almost a gate to the underworld, where the gate to the underworld was found. To leave that to another time, I've got to look into it a bit. But this is the backdrop to which Matthew was saying what he said. Sorry, to which Jesus said, saying what he said in Matthew 16. Because what he's saying there is profound. It is so important, because what he's doing is he's reconstructing the centerpiece of God's world. They thought it was the temple and the city. And Jesus is saying, actually, no, we've got to take our eye off that. This is not the centerpiece. You think it's about the city. You think it's about the temple. It's about so much more than that. He's saying to them, basically, I'm building a new community of people who have given their allegiance to God's anointed king. And this movement, this community starts right here, right now with you, Peter, and you, your friends here, the disciples, as they make that declaration about who Jesus is. The Messiah, the anointed king, and the Son of the living God. That's why Jesus says this is the most important question. What about you? It doesn't matter what all the other people say. What about you? What do you say? Who do you say I am? And they answer, you are the Messiah, the anointed king, the Son of the living God. And it continues with us all. As we make that declaration, as we say, Jesus, you are the Messiah. You are our anointed King, the Son of the living God. We're part of this journey, part of this new community that Jesus is building and starting, creating at this point. We cannot underestimate the importance of this moment. This is like a pre-Pentecost birth of the church. And I think we could skip over it and miss it quite easily. This is what Tom Wright, in his commentary on Matthew, this is a great little book on Matthew's gospel, says, but to those who agree with Peter that Jesus of Nazareth really is God's Messiah, this promise is made that through this allegiance, they will become the people through whom the living God will put the world to rights, bringing heaven and earth into their new state of justice and peace. Wow. This is weighty stuff, isn't it? But then Jesus goes on and he says this, verse 19, this passage that I want to focus on for the rest of our time. I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. We've got our very large key here with lots of keys on it. And Linda's, I'm not even going to ask Linda what this key is for. Yeah. You got a basement. Anyway, that's why we've got our big key. We're thinking about the keys that God has put in our hands today. I think what Jesus seems to be saying here is he says, I've given you the keys to heaven. He goes on to say, what you bind on earth will be that which is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth which is that which is loosed in heaven. I think Jesus is saying here, let's take a look at heaven. And let's take a look at the attributes and the qualities. And if it's not there, it doesn't belong here. And if it is there, it belongs here. And you want to bring it and invest in it and seek it. The focus here on implementing, seeing that which is to come and will be part of our eternity with Christ when the new heaven and the new earth comes. You know, Jesus puts it in a little bit more simpler, doesn't he, earlier on. He says, this is the prayer I want you to pray. I want you to pray all the time. What does he say? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. Your kingdom, your rule and reign. The reality of heaven, here and now. Now, these guys didn't have Revelation 21 at this point. They did have Jesus before them, but they didn't have Revelation 21. We do. This picture of that age to come, the picture of what will be when Christ returns and makes all things new. And I want to read it. And I want to encourage you, just close your eyes. Invite the Holy Spirit to show you what aspect of that he wants to reveal and just kind of excite you and challenge you and talk to you about. Jesus is talking about the new age, the new heaven and the new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Now the surfers amongst us will be a little bit nervous at this point, but actually sea in Scripture often refers to chaos. There was no longer any chaos. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. What does it say about the church? Bride of Christ being prepared for a wedding day. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Can we say that together? He who seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Meditate on that for a moment, just a moment. Let the Holy Spirit just show us, underline what element, what aspect of that heavenly reality that will one day be ours fully. He wants to just show us now. Friends, what this says to me, and maybe this is the key that Jesus is talking about here, is that this new community of believers has not just the responsibility but has the ability and the authority to continue the work that Jesus started, the making all things new that he began. And we have the authority and the ability to bind that which doesn't belong, the stuff that will not be part of our eternal future, the stuff that will not last. And we have the authority and the ability to loose and release that which does belong in the future, the stuff that will last, the stuff that, you know, that we will be recognizing in this new heaven and this new earth that we've just read about. You know, this would have felt very new to the disciples, but it's not a new message, is it? It's nothing new, because right back at the beginning, God created humanity. And he said to them, I want you to rule and I want you to bring order. And this was part of our original design. But you know, we know that humanity in the fall allied itself with another master. And it all went a bit squiffy, a lot squiffy. You know, as I prepared this talk today, this next point I nearly didn't include. We're short for time and I've taken too much time already. But I've never quite felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit like this. And it was almost like the Holy Spirit said to me as I sat in my shed yesterday morning, it was almost like he said, you dare miss this out. I've never experienced this before. This quite sharp sort of, no, I want this said. And this is the point that I was close to removing, but I'm including. That the battle that was waged against humanity, taking that authority, the battle that was waged against humanity to take that authority away from them at the fall, rages now as much as it did then. Because when the church takes hold of its God-given, delegated authority, the world will be shaken. What I believe. I read this week, this is a guy I'm reading and listening to called Alan Scott from Anaheim Vineyard. He said this: we debase our humanity when we deny our authority. We debase our humanity when we deny our authority. I want to read a little section from this book called Scattered Servants. This is what he says about this authority. He says, it's daunting, even unnerving. So daunting that invariably we retreat to the position of reluctant rulers. We would rather be volunteers in his church than participants in his story. My aim and my hope is that the church, if you know, we are, as the church, participating in this story. But I know what he's saying here. Yet we have been given authority, authority to restrain evil and release good, authority that causes the earth to come alive, authority in all things. It's awesome and it's awkward. To be human is to rule and reign over things. We have settled for building churches rather than using our authority to bring life to cities. And yet Jesus was exceptionally clear. I will build my church and you have the keys of the kingdom. In effect, he invites us to take the keys of our authority into the community and introduce it to its divine destiny. I believe we've got our lovely new banner here. Barney, thank you. This is our Arise banner. We've got some bigger ones going at the back. So as you start to return to church, you're going to see this. We want this front and center. Part of our Arise is being restored in our identity. Restored identity. Let me tell you what the associated aim is that we've set for this area of Arise. Restored identity, being like Jesus, for us all to have a relationship with God through Christ and fully grasp our true identity and authority in the world as children of the living God. We might explore that a little bit more when we talk about that word on Wednesday this week about the relationship between Jesus and the kingdom. So let us exercise our delegated, God-given kingdom authority now as we enter into this time of prayer. My prayer this morning, and you know, when we prayed this morning, the presence of God was quite tangible. There was a weightiness in the room as we prayed, and I think there's a weightiness on this message because it's so important. Because when we take hold of our God-given authority, as we've said, that's when things really start to change. So let's think about that, what it means to bind those things that do not exist, don't belong. They exist, but they don't belong in our, you know, our future, if you like. That means they don't belong here and now. So let's bind those things that just don't belong in our world. Those things that the enemy has brought in that kill and steal and destroy, let's bind them in the name of Jesus. As we think about what heaven is like, is heavenly, the kingdom of heaven, it says. Let's start praying those things in. Let's start actively seeking to implement them in our world. So let's release in the name of Christ kingdom blessing. Let's bind again in the name of Christ the work of the enemy. And let's take this key in hand that Jesus has given us as we pray.